And as we do that, we think about one nation under God. Today, we're talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's interesting when we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or as I've titled it, Don't Worry, Be Happy. How many remember that old song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? You remember that? That was a one-hit wonder in the 80s by Bobby McFerrin. And in fact, it was featured this week. I didn't know it was a one-hit wonder. Of course, it makes sense. It's interesting when you think about the words, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I printed it out because I thought, wait a minute, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Is this guy living in the real world? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Now, I'm not going to do his accent or anything, but Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's just for that section over there. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. Now, I'm sorry. Somebody takes my bed. I'm not just going to worry. I'm going to be a little upset. So I'm not sure this song makes a whole lot of sense, at least in our world. Ain't got no place to lay your head. The landlord said your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Oh, yeah, you're being kicked out of your house. Don't worry. Be happy. I hear somebody's heard that song once or twice. Don't worry, be happy. You know, Jesus talked about this. You know, the Bible doesn't say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's our constitution. Every one of us is endowed by our Creator God to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every one of us is endowed by our Creator. I believe that. I believe that God first says this. In fact, in the Scripture, there's one of those weird moments in the Bible. I think the Bible has a lot of weird moments. We read it thinking it's normal. And Jesus is talking to his disciples in John chapter 10. And he says this in verse 10. The devil came to kill, he came to steal, and he came to destroy. Don't worry, though. Be happy. That's one of those moments I think the disciples looked at him and said, well, yeah, that's true. The Romans have taken over. We're paying 75% of our income to taxes. And then the church wants 21%. What's left over? The Romans have taken over. We're waiting for a Messiah. We're living as prisoners in our own land. We're taxed outside of our own socks. We have nothing. And Jesus comes along and says, the devil came to kill. And they're going, oh, you bet he does. He's come to steal from you. Oh, he's done that. And he's come to destroy you. Oh, by the way, and then he finishes it this way. With one of those moments, I think the disciples had to go, huh? Here's what he says. He goes, but I have come that you might have life and life to abundantly or to the full. Now, if you look at that word, abundant, that's one of those moments you just go, Jesus, are you living in the real world? The Romans, I mean, Herod kills children and women. I mean, this guy crucifies people, and he's supposed to be our king under God. And then you got Pontius Pilate. Have you seen what's been going on in our economy? And he says, don't worry, be happy. It's like this, sometimes Jesus makes these off-the-wall statements, and people go, are you for real? A gentleman shared with me a couple weeks ago, and a story. He says, maybe you could use this sometime, so I'm going to use it. He said this minister comes up and he finds these boys in a circle and he walks up to see what's going on and there's a puppy in the middle of the circle. And he comes up and says, what are you boys doing? And the one little guy turns around and says, we're trying to figure out what to do with this puppy we found. We're giving him away. Well, what do you mean you're giving away? Yeah, we're deciding who gets him. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, the one who can tell the biggest lie gets to take the puppy home. And the minister says, well, you shouldn't lie. And the little boy turns around and says who? The minister says, well, Jesus. The little boy says, Jesus? Well, who's Jesus? And the minister, shocked, taken back, says, well, Jesus. I mean, he's God's son. He lived in heaven, and God decided to send him down. He was born in a Virgin Mary without a dad. She gave birth as a virgin, and he was born in a manger. He was raised up. He walked on water, gave sight to the blind, raised dead people. He did all these incredible things. They crucified him on a cross. They put him in a grave for 3 days. And he came back from the dead, and he flew up into the sky. And the little boy took the dog and said, here, mister, you win. Jesus says some things sometimes that we just look and go, really? And I say, yeah, really. Jesus says these things, and it's true. We don't need a little puppy to tell us that this is a great story and it's not a lie. And yet, here comes Jesus to his disciples and says, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're going, you bet he did. And he says, I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. Now, you look at that and you say, okay, I can live with that. I can have abundant life. I mean, how many of you would say, yeah, I'd like to have abundant life. Yeah, and the rest of you, shame on you. I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, I just can't. Not my circumstance. Well, that's what the disciples were saying. They're going, are you crazy? Huh? Here, Jesus, you win. That's a great story. Because if you look at John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, you can have abundant life. Now, I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. I believe it rains on the just, and I believe it rains on the unjust. I believe that my knee, I can't hardly walk on the left side. I went to the doctor last week, and he says, my heel won't heal. He said, Pastor, you crushed something in your heel, and you got to not do anything for a month. And I said, when a minister's heel can't heal, we got problems in the church. And on top of that, my son coming home Wednesday night from youth group hit a deer. Praise the Lord, we got meat. No, he hits the deer square on with our good van, trashes the van. The deer flips two times. As he turns around to look at it, it gets up with two broken legs and runs 800 yards into the woods. I said, what a horrible night. The van... So there's bad things that happen. And Jesus comes along and says, I want you to have life. Life to the full. Now, some people misunderstand this, but here's what the Scripture says here. Life to the full. If you look at your Bible, it says, I've come that you might have abundant. That word abundant is a beautiful term in the Greek. It says this, perosis. Now, I always remember this Greek word, perosis. If somebody comes up and says, do you know what abundant life means? I said, absolutely. Because I have drawn in my Bible, in my notes, and if I'm gone sometime and my grandchildren ever find my Bible, they're going to have a great time. Even though it doesn't have pictures, it does now. Because I draw pictures throughout my Bible. I have a periscope from a submarine in my Bible. And the reason I do is because that word perosis has a couple of meanings. Number one, it means to get up and above it to get a different view. In other words, he's saying, look, I know the devil is wreaking havoc in this world, but I want to let you know I have come to give you a whole different look on life. And so that's why I have a periscope, because it doesn't matter what kind of storms are going on, I can get above it through Christ. That's what he says. Now, that's a great translation, but perosis goes on, and there's actually words that you find in the Greek translation, and here are the words that I found studying this, and there's about five of them, and they're all synonyms. The word means, I have come to give you a superfluous life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a superfluous life. And tell your neighbor you didn't say that right, and you spit on me. Thank you. Okay. Superfluous. Here's another word for that, superfluous life. And this is what Jesus said. That's why they looked at him and they went, what? Not that he said superfluous, but here's another word. He said exaggerated. That's another word for abundant. He says, I want to exaggerate your life. God wants to exaggerate my life. Here's another one, embellish. I have people sometimes say that. Oh, Pastor, you're just kind of living above it all. In fact, in college, I had a professor that pulled me into a room one time with the president of the university in Bible college. And it's bad when, well, you just know that your pastor had a meeting with the president of the college. Okay, and that's all you need to know. It was a good meeting, I thought, until they said, you have a problem. And I said, I've got a lot of problems. But the one they were focusing on was, they said, you're too optimistic. You're not a realist. Because I was something I was trying to start on campus, a movement with a ministry, and they said it's impossible to have that happen here. We've tried it before. And they said, you need to be a realist. And I said, you know, if I'm going to err in my life, I will err on the optimist side rather than the realist side. And if you say to me, I shot for the moon and I didn't get it, well, that's okay. At least I didn't settle for the earth and got exactly what I wanted. I am looking for an abundant life. Overt. Above, here's another word, extraordinary. Here it is, brother, God wants you to not have an ordinary life. Jesus came and said, I know what you're going through, but I want you to know something. I've come to make your life extraordinary today. God wants you to know that he wants to exaggerate in your life. God wants to do things so far above that people will look and go, really? And I think the disciples did that right here, And I think God wants to do that. And it's not that God says, look, I want you to have, listen, you're going to get all the cars to drive, the Cadillacs and Ferraris. You're going to have the bank account. You're going to never get sick again. That's not what it means. He says, I understand it rains on the just and the unjust. I understand that you limp on your heel for 4 weeks. I understand that the only good vehicle you had hit a deer and you didn't even get deer meat. Now, that's frustrating. But God says, I want to exaggerate your life. And so in that exaggeration, I have an opportunity to decide what I'm going to do. And Romans chapter 8, our text, gives me the answer for that this morning. If I could have life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of true happiness, here's it. Because I'm not going to necessarily be rich. I'm not necessarily going to be have all the cars I want. But in my life, what God's given me, I think He wants to do extraordinary things. There was a woman, I love this story, she lives down in Virginia, and she goes out, and she's poor, she's a widow, her husband's passed on, and she goes out to her porch, she doesn't have a lot except what she gets from Social Security and the government, and she goes out on her porch and she prays. One day she's out there praying, God, I don't have any food, but Father, You told me in Psalm 23 that You would prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. And she's just praying up a storm. And her words are echoing down through the valley. And these two young guys, these mischievous young boys, these ankle biters are down there. And they're just kind of, they're taking this all. And they can hear her pray. The whole town can hear her pray as she goes out there each day. And she doesn't care. She doesn't have a whole lot, but God promised her an abundant life. And here's her abundant life. And so she's praying. These two boys one day get the smart idea. They said, you know what, let's get that lady. Let's pull the biggest prank on her. And so they went, they got bags of groceries. And they went when she wasn't looking one day, and they went up to her porch, and they laid those on her porch, and they ran out into the woods, and they watched her. She came out, they thought, we got her good. She's going to think that God gave her groceries. You bet He did. Thank you, Jesus, because He does extraordinary things in our life. He embellishes our life. He exaggerates our life. I believe God wants to exaggerate your life. He did not come to give you life. He came to give you abundant, porosis life, to get you up and above it. And my Bible tells me that. It tells me that though I'm sick, though I'm poor, though we might have the flu, I can still praise God. He's my closest friend, my Savior till the very end. I will worship Him. He is my Savior, and He's my closest friend. You see, it says when my van is in the shop, I go, what am I going to do? Now the only thing I got left is this little clunker to get around that makes all kinds of noises. You know the kind of car. Some of you got those, right? And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I don't have the Cadillac. I don't have the Ferrari. But I know that God wants to exaggerate my life. He wants to exaggerate my life. And so we went to the insurance adjuster, and they said, you can go get a car. So we drove down to Enterprise and said, yeah, we've got an Avio for you. Now, just to let you know what an Avio is, it's such a small car. It's a little bigger than the smart car. Brother, you could not sit in an Avio. I went down to Enterprise. I looked at this yellow canary car, this lemon drop. I looked at the tires, and the tires are the size of my earlobe. I looked inside of it, and I said, for a family of six, I said, I can't even get in the driver's seat. He said, it gets great gas mileage, 35 miles to the gallon. I said, well, yeah, because I'm going to be in there doing a Fred Flintstone yabba-dabba-doo. How do I drive this? I can't even get my feet in here. And I'm not kidding you. And the guy looked at me, and he said, and he pointed over to another car. He said, that's all your insurance will cover. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you a deal. And I've been in there several times. We do a lot of youth trips. And so the guy knows me. He says, Pastor, see, right out there is a car. I'll tell you what, that Lincoln Continental, I'll give it to you for $5. I said, you got it. So parked out here right now is this thing. My daughter on the way to church this morning, she said, Daddy, can you push the seat thing that makes it hot? I said, you got it, honey. We're driving in this leather stretch Lincoln out. I feel like a gangster. The trunk's big enough to bury half of you in it. What did he mean by that? Bury half of us in it. Has Pastor got something planned? God exaggerated my life. God embellished my life. God put, now, I could have reacted in a certain way and said, you know what, there's that man, here we go again, here's my life. I understand when I can't walk on my foot, and they said, here's what you got to do. When things don't work, when the finances aren't quite there, you know what you do? You sow into the kingdom of heaven. You go out into the field and you say, the hay has come in. God, thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior. You're my closest friend, and I will worship you till the very end. That's what we do. That's what God does. He wants to embellish your life. Life, He gives me life. He gives me liberty. It's the Greek word libre, liberty, freedom. God gives me freedom. I am free in Christ. He says in Romans chapter 8, look at what it says. And many of you know this verse. How many of you have used this and you prayed this? And we know that in all things, God works together for the good, for them that love Him. How many of you have quoted that in your life? You've quoted that a lot. That's a great verse to memorize. It says, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose in Christ Jesus. I've used that a million times. You know what people do? That's not true. All things don't work together. All things don't work together. Have you seen the economy? Have you seen my job? Have you been living in Michigan lately? All things, I mean, we got the swine flu, we got wars and rumors of war, we got terrorism, we got a national debt of trillions of dollars. All things work together. See, here's the problem. We read that in the English, all things. English people, let's take that right off the table and let's go into the Greek. See, all things in English would be the subject of the sentence. The problem is in the Greek, all things is the predicate. The subject of this sentence is God. God works all things. See, it doesn't matter what's going on. All things may not be good, but I'll tell you what is always good is God. God is always good. No matter what happens in your life, you can look at your life and say, all things don't work, but God always works. All things may not be good, but God is always good in all things. Now, when we make God the subject of our sentence, then the predicate is all things. And what I want you to know this morning, you can take that. You know what? That's worth the price of admission today. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's like a little boy sitting in his car going home one Sunday. And mom and dad are complaining about service. Mom says, oh, the music was horrible. It was so loud, and they were off key. And the dad says, yeah, and the preacher, he just wasn't on. And the little girl says, Sunday school, it was terrible. And the little boy sitting in the back seat heard all this, finally piped up and says, yeah, but mom and dad, it wasn't a bad show for $5. So all things, here it is. This ought to be worth the price of, this ought to be worth you coming in this morning. Is that all things work together? No, God works everything together for His good. You see, what God has been working on my life is this. This week He's really been challenging me to get vertical with Him. God has been challenging my heart to get vertical. To say, God, all things. You see, the Bible says in your text this morning, it says in verse 37, it says, that no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through what? The subject, God. When God is the subject, everything else is the predicate. Everything that's predicated by God is good. And it says all things. You see, I don't make all things my subject. Because if I make all things my subject, then God is no longer the subject. And God wants to embellish your life so that He is the conversation of every subject where you work. He wants to be the conversation in your home. He wants to be the conversation in your church. Because in all things, God is my subject, not my things. And He says this in verse 37. Look at your Bible. It says right there. It says, no, in all things, these things, we are more than conquerors, which is the word Nike. It's where the not the company, Michael Jordan. It's actually the Greek, actually where it comes from. It's Nike, Nike. It's Hooper Nike, which more than conquers. We are more than conquerors through Him, through my subject. And then it says this, my focus isn't on the things. It says, I am convinced that neither death is not my subject, or life, or angels. Angels is not the subject of my life. God is the subject. You see, because angels subject themselves to God. Demons are subject to God. Past, present, all these things are under God. And because God is my subject, everything else is my predicate. And God has been challenging my heart so deeply this week. He says bad things can happen. Your van can get wrecked. Your children can get sick. I talked to one family. They've just been going through it. the little girl broke her leg the day mom was going to see that she had pneumonia and blah and on and on. And I said, boy, you're having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I said, well, my right foot doesn't work. My left knee doesn't work. I think I've got the flu. I'm not sure if it's mono, the doctor said. That's all cleared up. My son hit a deer, and I got no meat in my freezer from that. I said, you can have that. But you know, in all this, I love God. He is the subject of my life. And so I learned to praise that. And what God has been showing me is that if He's the subject, I want to get vertical with Him. You see, if I get vertical with Him and I just lift Him up in all things, God, thank you, God, for that van. And you know what God did? He says, you don't have to squeeze yourself into a little yellow lemon drop. I got you a stretch limo. This morning, I had my black jacket on. My wife had her black leather coat on. And my daughter in the back says, you look like a couple of gangsters. And I just leaned back, forget about it. You know, I just kind of, you know, just God embellishes. Could He have given me the Avio? Absolutely. But I believe God wants to do things in our lives that, and I'm telling you this story so that you can understand that God does things in our lives. If we lift up our praise, if we make Him the subject, then all the predicates don't matter. It's getting vertical with God, because you know what we want to do? We want to get horizontal. We try to get vertical, but we tend to get horizontal. I could have got horizontal. On Wednesday night, when my son called me from the countryside and said, Dad, I hit a deer. My first thought was, oh, the van. That's horizontal. What's happened to the van? Right? Everybody's hitting deer. I've heard, you know, just on 69, one of our church families hit a deer. The other night, in 2 days, the Greens hit two. They've got two vans down. We're catching you. Same thing. I got deer hide sticking out of the fender. He says, Dad, the headlight smashed, the hood smashed. And I could have stayed horizontal, worldly, and said, boy, were you driving too fast? Were you not looking out for the deer? You know what? You stay vertical and you say, are you okay? Because, see, the van can be replaced. The van doesn't matter. That's all things. But when you come to God as the subject, my son is a creation of God. He's a child of the Lord. And is he okay? Absolutely. Did he see the hand of God? Did God protect you in this? Absolutely. The van didn't roll. The deer didn't come through the windshield. Nothing happened to you. You're okay. Praise God. He is the subject of this conversation. The van can get fixed. In fact, for $5 a van, they could take their time for a couple months. Because I like my bun warmer, okay? Driving down the road, listening to Jesus, I'm on fire for the Lord. He's taken me from the miry clay, and He's put me in a Lincoln Continental, and I'm going to stay. See, the Lord wants, I could have got horizontal, but I said, you know what, Lord, He's safe, I'm okay. God, we have insurance, that van's going to be okay. We'll have more vans, that thing will be in a junkyard like every van does. But praise God, you're in my life, and we can give you the glory in this situation. I want to be in a place where I'm vertical with God in my life. It's so easy to try to plug the holes. We go over and we start grabbing onto the horizontal, and we go over and we say, well, let me fix this. And you know, it's like those old cartoons. I don't know if you used to watch these things. You know, the old Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. And I remember one years ago when I was a kid, and Elmer Fudd comes up to this dam, and Bugs Bunny pokes a hole in the dam, which, you know, anybody can do walking by. And Elmer Fudd has to stick his finger in the hole. And you know what happens? Bloop! Another hole springs out. And he sticks another finger in. Bloop! No, and he sticks his toe in it, and it keeps happening. Pretty soon he's got all his fingers and all of his toes in this thing. He's got his nose in one of the holes, and then more holes. Because here it is, you cannot fix all those things unless you're going to focus on all things, unless you want to put yourself in a world that says the devil came to kill and to steal and to poke holes into your life, into your marriage, into your finances, into your faith system. If you want to live your life that way, you are going to get horizontal and try to fix it. And you know what I say? Pull the hands out and step away and let God, just start praising God. And you say, but what if the dam breaks? Well, then let the dam go. Because God promises to Isaiah the prophet, even in the floods, you will not drown. In the fire, I will not let you be burned, for I will be with you. My God promises me, even though the floods come, and they do come, I don't have to stand there and try to stick my fingers in the holes. Because you know what? That's just a losing cause. You're going to have more. Step back and just seek God and say, God, how do you want to do this in my life? That's getting vertical. And then God will take care of the horizontal. And isn't that the message of the cross? We are to seek God. And then He, in Matthew 6:33, says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. He told the disciples, in fact, He says, do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about where you will sleep. Do not worry about what... Don't worry. Be happy. And they said, huh? And He said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. You see, God's been working on my heart lately, and here's what it is. I find myself so easily wanting to do the things of the world and fix things myself. And God said, if you could do it yourself, then you don't need me. But God's been teaching me that I want to get into a place. I want to get into a place like Mary, who came to Jesus and she got down and she did something that everybody went, really? And after being saved, this woman of ill repute that lived a lifestyle that wasn't so good, she tried to plug a lot of holes in her heart. And she used men. And when Jesus came to her and He saw that she got saved, she came to Him with a year's worth of wages and she broke that alabaster jar. And when she broke that alabaster jar, what did she do? She didn't sell it. A year's. If I said to you, I'd like you to take a year's worth of your wages, I don't know what you make for a year. I'd like you to go get that. I'd like you to go buy one thing. Come up to the altar and I'd like you to dump it out. Well, you could feed the hungry. Are you kidding? You know what you could do with that money? Are you crazy? Talk about living an embellished life. Exaggerated. This woman came up and she broke it and she poured it on His feet, on His head. It dripped everywhere. It just flowed. And she began wiping His feet. And everybody had to look at her and think, are you crazy? And Jesus said, her story is going to be told for 2,000 years. Here we are. We're still telling that story. About a woman who lived an exaggerated life. She didn't have much, but everything that she had, she poured at the life and the feet of Jesus. I wonder if you're able to do that in your life. And God's been challenging me and said, Mitch, I want you to get vertical. I want you to get in a place where you're just give it to me, and I'll take care of everything else. That's a great place to be in your life. The reason I say that story of Mary, I preached about her about 6 months ago. Those of you that were here. And 6 months ago, I was looking for a song about an alabaster jar. And here's what happened. I found this song about an alabaster jar, about her life. And so I started watching. It's from Gateway Worship. And I've had it on my computer, on my favorites, for 6 months. I'll go and I'll watch it. In fact, it's a beautiful song. Let me just play a minute of it. Guys, if you could bring this up. That song means a lot to me. And I'm listening to this the other day, and then my wife came in. I said, you got to hear this. She says, what? I said, I did not know. I thought that was just a concert. That's a church down in Austin. That's a Sunday morning service that's going on right now. in Austin, Texas, at Gateway Church. And I said, there's more to it than that. I said, I want to know. That's an awesome church. What a tremendous worship. And the reason I say that is because I was watching another video the other morning with my wife. We were in my office at home. And I'm watching this, and the guitarist playing the acoustic guitar, I'm watching this, and as they're doing this other song, he stops. He stops playing, and he drops down to his knees. And he quit playing. I said, well, you can't stop. There's thousands of people in this church. You got to play. He didn't care about thousands of people. My wife and I just wept before the Lord. I said, we just began worshiping there and weeping. And I said, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful to watch people worship? He didn't care about thousands of people. He stopped and he just worshiped vertically. And God's been working on this. I'm watching this going, this is what God's teaching me this week, is to get vertical. Say, it doesn't matter about the people. It doesn't matter about the horizontal. If you'll just lift me up, if you'll make me the subject of your life. And I'm watching this. I said, I've got to know what church this is. And I began researching. I said, a church that large, that's that real and authentic, because usually it's like, well, it's just fluff. It's just a concert. And it's not. You saw the audience. I thought, they're all up at the front, and they're just letting it go. Nobody cares what's going on. They just want God. God, if that could happen here, in this area, if you would pour out your spirit, where we didn't care. We just want you. If you would be our subject, what people would say. They would watch us. And I found the pastor, and I found last Sunday's sermon. I'm watching it this week. And he's talking about John 10:10. I went, no way. Abundant life. And then he's talking about Romans 8:28. I said, you've got to be kidding. And so I wanted to know more. And then he shared his testimony about how the church started. He says, if you think that everything you see here just happened, it didn't. We started with 200 people. He says, we started with 10 families, my wife and I. And we left Chicago, and one of the families said, we're going to pay the entire year, finance everything for this church in Austin, Texas. And so he moved, he and his wife and their two little kids, they moved to Texas, and all 10 families backed out, and nobody went with them. And the guy who was going to finance it didn't. And he says, God, what are you doing to me? And they started their church from nothing. And after about a couple of years, they had about 200 people. In those 2 years, they had six times they got kicked out of their place. Sometimes they had 4 days' notice. And they got kicked out over and over. And people couldn't find them. They'd meet, and then they'd go somewhere else, and they had no way of telling people where they're at. So they kept losing congregations. And for 2 years, he said, God, what are you doing to me? And God promised abundant life. Exaggerated, awesome, abundant life. And he said, I'd moved there into this house until our house was finished. And this neighbor, I only knew him for a short time, and then we moved, and I hadn't talked to him for 2 years. And his son and him were lighting firecrackers off. I walked across the street. He says, I got over there, I started talking about these firecrackers. And he said, so how's that church thing going for you, Pastor? He goes, really, actually pretty good, except we're really looking for a place to meet. He says, oh, that's too bad. We're tearing down an old synagogue here in the city. I'm on the committee. He says, really? Can I come look at it? He says, no. He says, I'm on the committee with a bunch of crusty old guys, and they're tearing it down. He says, well, what can you afford to pay if you wanted to lease it from us? He says, well, we're only paying $3,000 a month. That really caught my attention because that's what we were paying here when we got in with about 250 people. And he said, and by the way, that church is only 9 years old. And they have four different locations in the city of Austin with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He said he went to look at the synagogue. He said, there's no way. He said, but yeah, you can go look at it. He went and looked. He came and met with the board, and the board said, okay, we'll lease it to you for 5 years for $3,000. So they started meeting it. It was 22,000 square feet. We have 27,000 here now. And he said, we grew from 250 to 2,000 in those 5 years. And now they have four locations. And he says, don't think everything is perfect. the families still have the same struggles. He said, you know, there are people there just like you and I. They're going through the same things. But you know what they're doing? They're just getting vertical with God. And that so blessed me. That moved in my heart, and I said, God, that's what I want. And then I found out something interesting. For 2 years, I've been hearing about this church, a young man named Billy that comes up here from Austin, Texas, and visits with his mom and dad, Billy Rich, son of Dan and Susan Rich, who are on our board. That's his church. That's where he's at today, worshiping. And so all these pieces came together this week. I said, isn't that amazing how God wants us to live an abundant, expressive, exaggerated, above it all life? And he wants us to do things if we'll simply just get vertical with him and not worry about the horizontal and let him do the rest. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. You see, God came to give us life, and he came to set us free, liberty, and he came to give us true happiness. And so it may be in your constitution, but can I tell you, before it was ever in your constitution, it was in the heart of God to make you a free people and give you life. And so this morning, as we look at that, we have the opportunity to share in communion. And communion is God's reminder saying, do this in remembrance of me. And it's his reminder of this. We serve open communion here, but know this. Jesus said, whenever you do this, search your hearts. If you're not ready to do it, don't do it. You'll bring judgment upon your own life. I believe God wants to bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. But we've got to seek him. We've got to be God seekers. This morning, we're going to prepare our hearts. Here's how we're going to have our ushers, if they would. They're going to come up now, and Ron's going to come help me serve this. They're going to come and stand.